Welcome to the Sadler Lectures podcast. Responding to popular demand, I'm converting my philosophy videos into sound files you can listen to anywhere you can take an MP3. If you like what you hear and want to support my work, go to patreon.com/sadler. I hope you enjoy this lecture. In a discussion that begins in chapter 8 of his On Friendship, Cicero grapples with really an age-old question or problem that arises for many people even in the present. As a matter of fact, it is so common, so ubiquitous, that not only can you find it in advice columns and, you know, Reddit relationships and pick whatever else you like, we also make movies about it and television shows about it. It's kind of a common plot. What do you do when somebody who you're friends with, somebody who you have this relationship of affection and mutual goodwill and some sort of commonality, probably a common history with the person, somebody to whom you feel an obligation of loyalty, what do you do when they ask you to do something that you know is wrong and they probably also know is wrong? Should you do it because you're friends with them and you love them? Or should you refuse it, knowing that it's likely going to not only hurt their feelings, but damage the very relationship that you have? This is a very common issue, and it arises very frequently within friendships. And so Cicero considers it in terms of some pretty famous people, but we can easily relate it to our own cases. And he says that this is one of the things that disagreements often arise within friendships because of. He says that there's a demand upon friends to do something wrong. And so what are some of the examples that he gives to become agents of vice, right? To join somebody else in doing something wrong, something morally depraved, something, as we would say, vicious. And he's not talking about vice like smoking or drinking or playing cards or whatever else is being frowned on. He's talking about joining in, say, being cowards or being too rash or being intemperate. You know, should you join people in drinking parties where it goes on until you throw up and then you drink some more? No, that's you know, a bad way of behaving. Well, what if that's what your friends expect from you? You know, this is a very common problem, especially for young people. So becoming agents of vice or abettors in violence, going after other people. Let's join in bullying this person over here. And if you don't do it, you're not my friend. He says, when the demand is refused, however honorable the refusal, it's charged by those to whom the complaisance was denied that the laws of friendship have been disregarded. So what happens? Some people give in, and that's not good. Because if you're giving in to doing something you know is wrong or dishonorable, injurious to other people, what does that person think about you? Some refuse. In any case, the friendship is altered. If you give in, they know that you'll go along with what it is that they expect. Now, you know, in the case of lovers who are requiring proofs of their love from each other, maybe they don't view you in a lower light, at least not right away, but over time, they might. And if there isn't that sort of relationship, they might say, oh, well, that person does go along with it. I guess they're not the good person I thought they were. So he says that those who dare demand anything and everything of a friend, by that very demand, profess a willingness to do anything, whatever, for the sake of a friend. Now, that's not always true, though, is it? Sometimes people expect things of us and they don't give that loyalty in return. They call themselves our friends, but they're not really our friends. And so he says, by these careless recriminations, not only are social intimacies often destroyed, but also everlasting hatreds are produced. So when you have these fateful demands, cross this line that is consisting in something wrong, something shameful, something harmful, something unjust, just actually demanding that of another person already changes the nature of the friendship. So this raises a fundamental question. How far should, and here Cicero uses the word, love, amor, go in friendship, amicitia? How far should our love or our loyalty to the other person drive us? What should we be willing to do? And what should we draw the line on and say, no, we're not going to allow that. So he talks about a number of famous cases. I'm going to skip over those and only look at one, which is this example of Gaius Blosus, a protege, says, of you know, one of the interlocutor's family, came to me to plead for leniency because I was present as an advisor and offered as a reason for my pardoning him, because he'd done something wrong, the fact that his esteem for Tiberius Gracchus, who was a very charismatic leader, was so great he thought it was his duty to do anything that Tiberius requested him to do. And so, you know, this is a common situation, isn't it? I love this person so much. I admire them so much. They've been so good to me. Whatever they want me to do, I have to do. I'm, you know, if not their slave or their servant, I'm their loyal retainer, their friend, their companion. I'll do anything that has to be done. Really? Hide bodies that were, you know, assassinated? Cover up financial improprieties? What about, and here's the example he gives, what about burning down the Capitol? Now, that may not sound like that big of a deal to us, but for the Romans, that was sort of like saying, would you do the worst thing that we can think of? I mean, I suppose the only other thing that would have been even worse than that, maybe raping the Vestal Virgins or something along those lines, profaning all the temples. This was a big deal. And so the guy says, well, you know, Tiberius would never ask me to do that, because he's a good guy. But I guess if he did, I'd do it. Right? And so he doesn't get leniency because that is not the right way to be. That's the wrong answer to give. And it's the wrong answer to give because it's the wrong position to take. He says, what an impious remark that was. And he said he did all that he said he would, or rather even more. He directed the infatuation of Tiberius Gracchus. And he goes on, and this is a real problem. When people are willing to follow a friend in this way and do anything that they require, well, they'll transgress any laws or norms or requirements. So he goes on and he says that good people, people who have the capacity to be good friends, by the way, they think that it's wrong to make or to grant bad requests, requests that require you, if you're going to comply with them, to do something wrong. He says that we shouldn't grant our friends whatever they wish or get from them whatever we wish, unless these are the right things to do. We shouldn't be engaging in that sort of behavior. So he talks now about establishing a law. It's not the originating this idea, right? Because he's already brought up the fact that when friends get into these sorts of situations, they often think the laws of friendship have been broken. So Cicero here is proposing a revision of the law of friendship, a rectification of the law. And at first he frames it in a negative way. He says that, let this law be established in friendship. Neither ask dishonorable things, nor do them if asked. And dishonorable things, res turpis, right? Things that are wrong, things that are disgusting, things that are unjust, things that we know we shouldn't do. So we shouldn't ask our friends to do things of this sort. It's violating the law of friendship to do that. If the friend does that, we should refuse. We should not comply with their wishes, even though we love them, even though we're friends with them, because it's the wrong thing. We should not grant those requests. And then he goes a little bit further, and he notes something, you could say, on a certain meta level. He says, dishonorable it certainly is, and not to be allowed for anyone to plead in defense of sins in general, and especially of those against the state, that he committed them for the sake of a friend. Don't justify these sorts of requests. Don't justify these sorts of actions by saying that friendship made me do it, or complying with my love with somebody or admiration for somebody drove me to do the wrong thing they asked me to do, like burning down the Capitol or falsifying records or joining in on bullying somebody or whatever it happens to be, or even requests that would be demeaning for yourself that you shouldn't give into, things that are humiliating, that perhaps a lover demands or a friend demands as tokens of your being part of the club, being part of the gang, being part of the group. Now, he also has a more positive formulation of this law of friendship as well. And so this is a little bit more extensive than the other. He says, let this be ordained as the first law of friendship. Ask of friends only what is honorable. Do for friends only what is honorable and without even waiting to be asked. And honorable here is the opposite of turpis. It's honesta, the things that the word we get honesty from, right? But it has a connotation here, not just of truthfulness, but of being right, being the good thing to do overall. And he goes on and adds a few other things. He says, let zeal be ever present, but hesitation absent. Dare to give true advice with all frankness. In friendship, let the influence of friends who are wise counselors be paramount. Let that influence be employed in advising, not only with frankness, but if the occasion demands, even with sternness. And let the advice be followed when given. This is actually, quite positive. Now, frankness, what does frankness mean? Another word for it is freedom of speech. Not freedom of speech in the sense that nobody should, restrict you from doing any expression that you want to do. Rather, freedom of speech or frankness of speech in this case means being able to tell people the hard truths that they need to hear. Later on in the work, Cicero will tell us how to carry out criticism of friends and will say that this is something important for maintaining friendship. So we shouldn't do things that are bad. We shouldn't go along with friends, going along to get along, right? As the proverb goes. And instead, we should do the things that are right and try to encourage our friends by doing these things and only ask of them what is right for them and for other people. So the long and short of this is, once we get to the point where friends are demanding wrongful things of friends, we got a serious problem with the friendship. And it's probably a sign that things have already started to go wrong in the character of the people and in the nature of their relationship. It's a difficult topic, but one that was just as important back then as it remains today. Special thanks to all of my Patreon supporters for making this podcast possible. You can find me on Twitter at Philosopher70, on YouTube at the Gregory B. Sadler channel, and on Facebook on the Gregory B. Sadler page. Once again, to support my work, go to patreon.com/Sadler. Above all, keep studying these great philosophical works.